Before we begin, Danielle, can you start by telling us a wee bit about yourself so that we can get to know you a wee bit better and your connection with Girls Brigade?
So my name's Danielle and I'm 25 years old. I live in Carrickfergus and work in Belfast at PwC. And I have been in Joymount Presbyterian Girls Brigade all of my life. My mum was an officer there and she brought me along from I was 3 years old. And I also have two younger sisters who also joined Girls Brigade, and with four girls at different levels throughout our GB company, our family spent a lot of time at GB events, planning for GB events and just thinking and talking about GB.
So I'm going to catch you on the hop here and ask you, what is your earliest memory of being a GB girl? Can you remember?
My earliest memory of being in GB was actually in Tiny Tots singing There's a GB Girl in the Ring. And halfway through, seeing my friend run across to the other side of the circle and running across after, and then being told that I had to stay where I was and being brought back again.
Yeah. I'll not ask you to sing that song.
No.
Right, sorry for interrupting you. So you've been in GB all your life and it's a big part of your family's life. And so the last couple of years, you've been a wee bit more heavily involved in GB at a national level. So do you want to share a wee bit about that?
Yeah, so in my second year at university, my mum had told me about the GEMS representative role that was being advertised. And at that stage, I didn't know very much about what GEMS was, but I started to read up about it and why it had been created and could start to feel quite excited at the opportunity that it gave GB girls in that 16 to 25 age bracket. And I then applied for the role and started it 5 years ago now. The position that I had taken on meant that I could sit on the GB executive board. So that was really getting involved in the running of Girls Brigade in Northern Ireland, which was really exciting to see everything that was part of that. The other side of that then is also just being able to link in with girls right across Northern Ireland. So that means that we would maybe put on events that the girls would like to go to that brings different companies and even different districts together. So we've had things like movie nights or a worship event, or we joined with the spiritual team for prayer, praise,
good plug,
and
good
planning.
Plug.
But then other than that, then it's also a way of bringing together resources for what girls are struggling with. And that's been something that we've been particularly proud of, is that we've been carrying out surveys as we've met different girls to see what issues they struggle with. And then we're able to produce spiritual sparkles, which actually then took those top issues and we were able to get other people to do these write-ups that would then help girls deal with those different things.
So I know you're very passionate about GEMS and we could probably do a whole podcast just on GEMS. So you know that we've been studying the Psalms this year for the GB&I scripture course and looking at various different ways of how we can apply what we've learned in the Psalms to our own lives. So I've asked you here today to share about one of your favourite psalms, so maybe you could tell us what that psalm is that you've chosen, and can you tell us about a time in your life when you found that psalm helpful in your walk with God?
Yes, so I have chosen Psalm chapter 57.
Which we're looking at what emotion in Psalm 57?
Looking at joy.
Joy, yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
So in my Bible, it actually gives a subtitle at the beginning of this particular chapter, which says, "When David fled from Saul into the cave." And the picture set for this passage is actually quite far from one of joy, and actually describes David as feeling fear and uncertainty and apprehension, and probably a lot of hopelessness about his own future. Because at this moment in time, King Saul wasn't just wanting to find David, he was actually wanting to kill him. So David at this time was scared. And although we'll hopefully never face situations when we're fearing for our very lives, we will no doubt face situations which make us feel unsure and make us feel scared. A time in my life when I had felt this this prolonged feeling of apprehension and fear was actually when I was sitting my final exams for chartered accountancy. And I had studied for 7 years at school, 3 years at university, and then the three for accounting. And it felt overwhelming to see the end so close, but also behind this huge hurdle of finals. And at that time, then my exam week, it was the final week of August, so the very end of summer, and my study leave had started at the beginning of June. And so when I described that, that sounds ideal to everyone to have study leave right over summer.
Yeah, a lot of relaxing, box sets.
But at that time, I'd got off at June, and just that sheer prospect of studying morning to evening instead of being away on holidays or taking trips up to the North Coast was just very, very daunting. And
Far from joyful.
But at that time, then I decided to read a psalm each day. And the reasoning for picking the Psalms was simply because it was the one book in the Bible to have enough chapters to fit how many days of study leave I had.
So you'd actually counted how many days study leave you had?
I had, yes. Yeah. I had everything timetabled.
And so then you knew that there were 150 chapters in the Psalms?
Yes.
Yeah. So is that's why you chose the Psalms then?
Yeah, so each year at study leave, I would always have looked at how many days I had of revision. And find a book in the Bible that matched that.
Very good.
More because if I skipped a day, it would or it would force me not to skip a day because okay. I wouldn't want to be out of sync with okay. days revision days.
Well, you're very organized.
So 57 days into study leave, I then came across this chapter 57. And as I read it, the overdramatic in me felt like I could really relate to David crying out to God for refuge in the shadow of his wings. And I thought that if God could take David through his fear of the prospect of death, he would certainly be able to lead me through my little fears of exams. And David explains his own situation in verse 4 when he says that he felt in the midst of lions and dwelling among ravenous beasts. And I definitely wasn't in David's position, but I knew that I had a God who cared about me in my situation and who would guide me through my own little hurdles as much as he guided these Bible characters through their huge hurdles. And because of this, I felt like I was understanding David's point here, that the immediate future for him looked so daunting. But realizing what David was facing here, I was then really shocked to read what it says in verse 5, which says this: "Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth." And reading that, I just couldn't believe that right in the middle of his fear, David suddenly started praising God.
Yeah, it is one of those psalms, isn't it, that you start to read it and it can be a wee bit depressing to start with. Yeah. And even you can just understand why he's feeling really fearful. And then there's almost like a turning point where you just think, where did that come from? Isn't
yeah,
that right?
And it was one of the things that definitely stood out from each of the Psalms, that as it started with a situation of fear or sadness or just crying out to God for something, that because the writer did turn to God, you can see how the passage can't help but end in one,
yes,
either praising
so
him or celebrating who God is.
Yeah, so you find that was almost like a pattern that you found as you read all of the Psalms in their entirety.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, very good.
And one that I knew that I was then trying to replicate as I maybe journaled prayer and wrote down prayers rather than maybe just having that separate time, was that you could visually see as you started to pray and actually pray relating to the passage, how your prayers turned from ones asking for help into ones just thanking God for who he was.
Very good, very good. So you lasted through your exams then?
I did, yes.
And did you pass them?
I did as well, yes.
That was good. And so did you feel like whenever you read that, so that was 57 days in, did you feel then that you were able to sustain that joy the whole way throughout your exams?
Yes, so that was one of the things then from reading that, was that realisation that we could find our joy in who God was, but that it can be difficult to keep remembering that. And it was from reading that then I started to look a bit more into what the word joy meant.
Okay.
And specifically maybe what it meant for me. So at that time I journal, so I've actually gone back and was able to look at day 57.
Because you Danielle is the girl who has written the article for us at the beginning of our journals in the scripture course, and you very kindly shared with us different tips of how we could work through the SAMs using like different questions and stuff. So you were able to go back to your journal. That's pretty cool. And so what did you discover when you went back?
Yes, so I was able to go back. I have a box under my bed that has all my notebooks that I've ever journaled in. And I've always said to anyone in my family, they can never go into that box. But I was able to go back and pull this one out then from during that time in exams. And I'd find that I was writing then as I'd been sitting in the dining room studying all day. I was thinking of things then that usually did make me feel joyful. And some of the things that I had felt personally were maybe going to bed on a Friday night when you don't have to set an alarm for the next day.
Okay.
Or maybe how you feel joy on Christmas Day or on your birthday. But then thinking that those things fill us with joy there and then, that actually they're not lasting, because my Friday night quickly becomes a Sunday night when I've got the week ahead. And days like Christmas Day and birthdays can seem like the quickest day of the year. So I was then trying to think, okay, well then where this passage is talking about joy, it's talking about a joy that lasts. And looking at some of the descriptions of joy, I'd find one by a man, Rick Warren.
Okay, that wrote The Purpose-Driven Life?
Yes.
Yes, okay.
So he had described joy in this way, and I just thought it was really well put. He said, joy is the settled assurance that God is in control of all the details of my life, the quiet confidence that ultimately everything is going to be all right, and the determined choice to praise God in every situation.
That's really good. Maybe you could read that again and we could just so that we can reflect on it again. So that's a really good definition.
Said, joy is the settled assurance that God is in control of all the details of my life, the quiet confidence that ultimately everything is going to be all right, and the determined choice to praise God in every situation.
Yeah, because sometimes with joy, it has to be a choice, doesn't it? You know, you can face yourself like David did, or we all have situations where we feel it's really bleak, but you come to a crossroads where you have to choose joy. And in doing that, God does something amazing in that he gives us that lasting joy that we can only know through him.
Yeah, and it's one of the things that then I really learned from David, where he then says in this chapter at verse 7, he says, my heart, O God, is steadfast. My heart is steadfast. And it was the verse I really drew on from looking at this chapter, because I was thinking of the words he used, where he uses the word heart and the word steadfast. And again, me going back to look at the definition of definitions of these.
You like your definitions,
don't
you?
Probably procrastinating from starting the study as well. Where the definition of heart says that it is the central and innermost part of us. And for the word steadfast, it says that this word means resolutely or dutifully firm and unwavering. So from that verse 7 where it said, my heart, O God, is steadfast, my heart is steadfast, there was two things that I had really drawn from that, which had then helped me going forward. And the first was that the fact that he actually repeats that phrase twice, that he's given that feeling, like you said, of being intentional about it.
Yeah.
He's reminding himself that his innermost being, his heart, will be unwavering and will be steadfast and focused on God.
And that happens a lot in the Psalms, doesn't it? As you know, we'll all see as we like journey through the different Psalms we're studying this year, you know, a lot of the verses David or the psalmist repeats to kind of reiterate what God's saying to them.
Yeah. And then the second point from that verse 7 was that David realizes that no matter what, his true and his innermost joy is in his God. And that this remains the same in times when everything is going really well, as much as it does in his times of apprehension and uncertainty.
And that can be really hard, can't it? Whenever you are in the midst of something that's really painful and hard, that you continue to be joyful.
Yeah, exactly. And I think it's just then that remembering those times when we do feel the joy in our relationship with God, and knowing that we can have that same joy in times that are difficult, and that even comparing my situation to David's, that his seemed so huge and significant when mine seemed actually quite small and insignificant.
But yeah, at the same time, it was big for you because it was a huge thing for you, particularly at that time.
Yeah. It was the biggest thing I felt that I was having to face.
Yeah, I get that.
And just realizing that I could still repeat the same words that David did in verse 7, that despite the situation and despite how daunting what was ahead, I could still repeat intentionally that my heart would be steadfast in looking to God for my joy and my purpose. Yeah.
And there's something about, isn't there, like declaring the verses, and you know, we can read them and say them into ourselves and that's great, but there's something about sitting in a room by yourself, taking a verse and just choosing to say it over and over again out loud, because you're declaring it out and you're speaking it out, and I think it helps it to get into your head and your heart.
Yeah, definitely. And my Bible that I would use all the time and that I would journal with is NIV.
Okay.
But it's one of the reasons that I would often go and look up the Message version. And actually, I have those verses 7 and 11 again in the Message.
Oh, do you want to share them with us?
Yeah, so those same verses, just in this way, they really help for how you would declare the verse over. And it says, I'm ready, God, so ready. Ready from head to toe. Ready to sing, ready to raise a tune. Wake up, soul. Wake up, heart. Wake up, lute. Wake up, you sleepyhead son. I'm thanking you, God, out loud in the streets, singing your praises in town and country. The deeper your love, the higher it goes. Every cloud is a flag to your faithfulness. Soar high in the skies, O God. Cover the whole earth with your glory.
Yeah, and that's actually not just declaring it out loud for you to believe and to know in your heart, but it's actually praising God as well, isn't it? It's remembering who he is, because when we remember who he is, that brings joy to our life. That it's, you can't really explain it, sure you can't. It's something that happens within us that God does to give us that lasting joy. So I suppose one of the most difficult things for us as followers of Jesus is we read a Bible passage or a Bible verse and it's all well and good in that context. And it's great to know it in that context, but actually what's really important is for us to then take God's word and apply it to our lives, because that's what he wants us to do. He gives us his word to speak to us through, but as well he wants us to take it and use it in our lives to help us in situations. So I would love to hear how you applied what you read in these verses and those verses that jumped out at you, those key verses, and how you applied it to your situation of going through your exams. How did it help you get to the finishing line of getting your exams done?
Yeah, so in that moment of reading chapter 57, I did feel excited by it, because you did get that renewed perspective and almost that renewed energy and being able to see where your priorities were and where your focus should be. However, like David, we also then need to be intentional about reminding ourselves of this lasting joy that's found in God. And one of the practical ways that I tried to do this then
was really good. It's always so good to get practical tips of how to actually apply this. So
and remind ourselves. Yeah. And this is one I do for a lot of different things, but in this particular time I set up a recurring event in my calendar for 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. each day. And I just titled it, Where is Your Joy?
Very good.
And so at 8 a.m. Often my joy is virtually non-existent and I'm focused on everything else. So at that time I was focused on all the topics I had to get through that day or just how many days were left ahead of me before the actual exams. But I still have this recurring event in my calendar because there's so many distractions that you'll find rushing out the door in the morning to get to school or to get to work or whatever you've got on that day. But this daily reminder on my phone just clicks my focus back to where it should be. That although these things are worrying me right there and then, I have a God who made me and loves me and who I can find joy in as I start my day. And finding a joy that lasts, when I had been thinking about joy, it's something that we know that the whole world is actually looking for. Yeah. And each person will set out to find their joy in different ways, whether it's by the number of likes on Instagram, the number of friends they have on Facebook, their status in the workplace or their salary level. or the beautiful holiday destinations they go to. And we are living in a culture that tries to focus on how you can find that lasting mm-hmm. joy by pushing those things. And yet I found it amazing that by reading a Bible verse or Bible passage that was written thousands of years ago, that in fact we learn then as much as we learn today that our joy can only ever be found in a life that is focused on God. Mm-hmm.
Danielle, thanks for sharing that with us and how you were able to apply that to your life. And just as we are finishing up, I would just love to know, we've lots of girls listening to this podcast and they're listening to how God really helped you to know where you would find lasting joy. And so I would love to know what you would say to a girl who's listening to this that is searching for joy, knows that there's something missing in their life and just knows they're missing joy. What would you say to them to help them find that joy that you find?
Yeah, it is that matter of being intentional about spending time with God. So that is maybe reading your Bible and praying, but also having these reminders throughout your day that'll just keep you focused on where your priority should be, where your perspective would be. And I remember hearing one time somebody explaining it as fix your focus in the perspective of eternity.
Yeah, that's good.
And just being mindful of that as you go out each of your circumstances through the day, or when you do face hurdles that are daunting, that we're able to just intentionally take that step back. And it may be by spending time reading the Bible, but it could be as simple as a reminder popping up on your phone. That just takes us away from the situation. And I do kind of see it as where you're looking straight ahead at God, and as things happen through the day, your head starts to turn to the right or to the left.
And that's so easy to do, isn't it? You know, life can just get caught up, and if you're not focusing on God and not spending that time with God daily, you know that it's so easy for all of us just to have our head turned in other directions.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's the thing, especially too with using your phone for that, is that we use our phone for so much else, is things like being on Instagram or social media. That is something that can very easily shift our focus, and just having those reminders and having that that time set aside to spend time just with God is where we do find then a renewed perspective of what really matters and where our focus is, and what God means to us.
Danielle, that is so great, all of what you've shared with us. There's so much practical help there. So thank you for taking your time to do that and to chat with us today. And we have just really gleaned from you over the years of just you being on the leadership of GB. And so we just want to honour you and thank you for all of the time and investment and sacrifices that you've made. And I am so excited to see where God is going to take you. And I think he hasn't done with you yet in GB. So before we finish, can we just pray with you, if that's okay?
Yes.
Yeah. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Danielle. God, we thank you for how you've been using her in Girls Brigade, from her company to her district, right up to executive level. And Father, we thank you for the gifts that you've placed inside of her. God, thank you for what she has shared about what you've been teaching her about joy over the last number of years. And God, we just want to pray that you would continue to help her know that lasting joy, that you would help her to have the right perspective day and daily. So God, thank you for her story. And God, we pray that you would continue to open up new doors of opportunity for her to just glorify your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We would love it if you could share this podcast with others. If you would like to find out more about GB, check out our website, gbni.co.uk. You can also keep up to date with us by following us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.